Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So we have two scripture readings this morning. The first is from the book of Romans, from the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 12. You're invited to follow along with your own Bible or with those found in your pews. I'll be reading verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not do wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That is my child calling from Ireland. And yes, her call is the Muppets theme music. Let's try that again. Usually I have my phone on silence. I would say that was God calling, but it wasn't. She's probably calling for more money. All right. So let's read this again. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does do no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Our second scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, from the 18th chapter, verses 19 through 20. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this beautiful day. Thank you for a reminder of the commandments that you have placed upon our lives to love you and to love our neighbor. As we think about what it means to be courageous and to have faith on this beginning of a new season, be with us. Open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. We pray this boldly and confidently, trusting that Jesus is the one who brings the word to life for us. And all God's people said, amen. So be strong and courageous. It's kind of funny because I kind of wish the kids were in here, because really this is meant to be a sermon for them. Because today we are going to be blessing their return to schools. Now, I understand year-round, traditional calendar, sports things, all of the things, and know that some have already been in school, you know, but here we are, right? But we need, as a church, some type of definitive start point to make our things kind of coalesce together, and today is that day, right? It's our back-to-school blessing. It's also when we launch into some of the opportunities for spiritual growth and formation. Past Thursday, we actually had mom's group, to gather in the nursery with the hope that that will build over every week until that is a community that can come together. Next week, we start Saving Grace, in terms of our sermon series, to really think about that. And this coming Wednesday, I'll be starting Disciple 2 Bible study with a group of individuals who are committing to 12 plus 12, 24 weeks of study of intentional growth and formation. And it takes a little bit of courage to say, I'm going to commit myself to that, right? And as I think about just what the past week or two has held for me personally, there's this question, what do we do with seasons of transition, right? How do we step into that boldly and confidently? And it was no big struggle to escort my child to a foreign country to drop her off, right? To see how her decision to apply for this particular program to go abroad for her very first college semester really took a lot of courage for her, a lot of guts. And then, of course, me being the mama bear that I am, refusing to let her go across the pond unescorted, right? And then finally, you know, us coming to heads and, you know, truly having a blowout and going our ways for a couple of hours to kind of come in and stick her on a plane and say, you're going to be fine, right? And sometimes we go through situations in our life where we need somebody to say, you're going to be fine. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it always going to be one that lines up the way that we want it to? No. But is God with us in the midst of all of these things? Absolutely. So when we hear Paul's writing to the church in Rome and thinking about these words, the summarization of the commandments, when we think about the Ten Commandments, which I'm not going to list because I fail every time I try, we know that they can kind of be categorized into two categories. You're going to love God, how we relate to God through using God's name, not having idols, honoring the Sabbath, not taking the God's name or in vain, and having any other gods before us. And then also the second category is how we relate to one another. And the last six of the Ten Commandments is honor thy mother and father, do not covet, do not steal, do not lie, bear false witness, murder. You know, really talks about those generalities of how we interact with one another. And it can be summarized in love one another. But sometimes loving someone is hard, right? And I also think about the dynamics of family relationships, of, you know, this position of wanting to have our kids launch into the world, and yet we don't know if they're going to fly or if they're going to circle right back like a boomerang and come back. Like, we just don't know. We're just given a small amount of time in which to instill in them some what we hope to be good morals, some good values, some good ways of interacting with one another, right? And then we have to say, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Because we're going to walk with you every step of the way. And that's the promise that we get from God, particularly when we hear the gospel according to Matthew, where two or more are gathered in God's name, Jesus is in our midst. Do y'all ever think about that when you're in a work situation or at the grocery store? Or maybe you're waiting in the lobby to get your oil changed, or you're at the doctor's office? These things that seem to be everyday kind of realities, but yet you're around other people. You're not there by yourself, right? Like, there are other people there. Do you envision that as a place where Jesus is also? Yes? No? You will now. But here's the thing. Where two or more are gathered, and if you are claiming faith in Christ and Christ's presence in your life, Christ is there. So whatever the challenges are or the good things are, I'm mindful of just the swath of human emotions that are here in this space right now. It might be loneliness. It might be worry over someone who is suffering from medical conditions. It might be someone who's just received a really difficult medical diagnosis. Or maybe it's someone who isn't really secure or know what the job situation is going to look like for them. Or how am I going to cover the cost of childcare? How do I bridge that gap, maybe in broken family relationships? We lean into God and trust and know that we don't do this on our own, that we are a community brought together by God's grace, by God's ties of love. That if I was to have lunch with Miss Elise, she's in her, what year are we in school? Junior year. Oh my gosh. Next year the panic really sets in. Okay, panic's already set in. There we go. You know, to say, okay, I'm with Elise, and I'm going to invite Greg over here to join us too. Jesus is there, right? Or if I'm looking at Susan, and I'm looking at Chloe, and, you know, I'm looking at Patrick, and if we come together, Jesus is there. That, for me, gives me comfort. Gives me the confidence to step into maybe some unfamiliar situations, to be courageous, to be confident, to trust in the goodness of God, and to remember that out of that goodness and grace of God, I'm called to love others. When I was traveling this past week, sometimes, how many of you have gone on vacations and maybe done the organized tours? Do you know what I mean? Where you do that because you have a finite amount of time and you sign up for some of those tours because you know you get the maximum benefit of being able to see the max amount of things in a very finite amount of time, right? Like, you just know. And then I juxtapositioned that with one-on-one conversations with taxi drivers or walking on the streets because I did a lot of walking as well. And what I came to realize is that in these tours, you get to see the best of the best. And it's a very, I use the terminology, sanitized vision or version of what you're experiencing. And for me to have communication and talk with taxi drivers who were from Poland and Nigeria and Ireland, it expanded my understanding of who comprised the communities that I was visiting. And it was walking on the streets that I saw the same homeless person sleeping in the same spot who had built up safety with four wooden panels. And that gave me a perspective of that sometimes where we're called to be courageous and to love one another is to have our eyes open to see the fullness of reality of where we are. To not be afraid to acknowledge that there are needs in this world. That there are needs that we have, there are needs that others have, there are needs that we probably don't even speak because maybe we're embarrassed. Or maybe we're feel shame because we ought to have our things together. And that's when I remember in conversation, and if you're familiar with the history of Ireland, of the wars that have been fought, particularly upon religious lines, it really gave me perspective that God is in the midst of all of this. That God is working through all things for the betterment of all creation. And it is by our intentional acts of love and kindness to see the humanity in each other that helps bring God's vision to fruition. So I'm going to invite you this week to maybe take off the slight blinders. I'm not going to say you have big blinders on, but just kind of open up that expansiveness to really take a look about who you are with this week. Who are you around? Who are you engaging with? Are you recognizing Christ in their eyes when you look at them? Are you loving them for who they are and not because of who you think they ought to be? Because that is how God comes to us. Knows who we already are, and loves us anyway. To be courageous and be confident this week, knowing that God is with you, will not forsake you, and will be with you every step of the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.